You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
Straight up, lots of boxing, of course, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. Speaking of the World Boxing Organization, they are our sponsor. You can always check them out online at WBOboxing.com or follow them on Facebook. Straight up, the WBO is transparency when it comes to promoting and, of course, sanctioning professional boxing. Straight up tonight, Zach Attack Young, boxing all over the place. Some news. Let's go to the Showtime card first. Gary Russell Jr. looking pretty good tonight.
Yeah, he demolished Patrick Hyland in two rounds. Kind of expected. Patrick Hyland isn't exactly the most high-level opponent out there, but Gary Russell, he has some of the fastest hands in boxing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Of course, Gary Russell is a good fighter. Now, who did he lose to? Lomachenko?
Yeah, Lomachenko kind of gave him the work. Lomachenko had him missing a lot of shots, which was impressive on Lomachenko's part.
Kind of gave him the work. Well, you got to explain that to people, man. You can't just drop some boxing insider line in there, some MMA insider line in there, and not explain. There's a little old lady sitting in Omaha, Nebraska, and she's asking, what is he talking about? Explain that.
I believe he had him landing about 10% of his shots while landing a lot of his own power shots and wobbling Gary Russell a few times.
Okay, no doubt about that. Now, Errol Spence was the winner tonight. Of course, Errol Spence taking out Chris Algieri, something that hadn't been done before. In fact, speaking of Errol Spence, let's run this. Okay, we'll run that a little bit later then. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, Sports Overnight America, and of course, tonight, lots of boxing results, but next week we'll get to in just a second. Got to mention this, though. You know, this guy, Travis, I don't know. I'm not too high on this guy, but Travis Brown is supposed to be something that we're supposed to be. Lucas Brown is something we're supposed to be all impressed with as far as heavyweight is concerned. The only heavyweight out there besides the champions, I think, that's impressive. Tyson Fury is impressive. Deontay Wilder is impressive. Anthony Joshua is impressive. But outside of those three, is there anybody else out there really impressive besides that crazy Cuban that's on steroids?
The Cuban, you know, there's not a lot. I think the heavyweight division's coming back. That's about all that I would name. I think you pretty much nailed it there.
Okay. Now, next week, we've got Gennady Golovkin returning to HBO Championship Boxing. Gennady, of course, unbeaten now, 34-0, 31 knockouts. Can he lay a claim to the best fighter pound for pound in all of boxing?
No, because he hasn't fought anybody. I mean, it's not really his fault, but he hasn't fought like an opponent that's really going to test him. And he's not going to do that in his next fight. I mean, Wade, I don't think Wade's undefeated, but I don't think that he's going to be much of a challenge for Golovkin.
Interesting. Zach Attack Young, of course, myself, talking boxing here with Dominic Jimenez, Dominic Cadwallader Jimenez, and you're waving at me. What are you waving at me about?
No, just I want to get your thoughts on a boxer that I'm very curious to know more about. I like him a lot, Felix Verdejo.
Are you trying to buy into him too? Is that what you're trying to do? Is that what are you scouting? Zach, he's scouting talent here to buy these guys. He's trying to. I'm serious. He talks about Puerto Rico. This is the second time he's brought up Puerto Rico in less than a week with me. He's taking that private jet and he's going to Puerto Rico. He's going to try to buy some of these fighters now.
I mean, Verdejo wouldn't be a bad one to buy. He looks like a pretty good prospect.
Yeah, he was a winner tonight. Of course, he just continues to win there in Puerto Rico. Felix Verdejo now 21-0, 14 KOs. They call him El Dynamite, but the bottom line is, you know, he's the heir apparent to people like Felix Trinidad and Wilfred Benitez and Wilfred Gomez and people like that, the best fighter pound for pound in all of Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico's got a fantastic history regarding boxing. I mean, for a little small island, they produce a hell of a lot of great world champions, Zach.
Yeah, they have a lot, and the fact that they even have a rivalry with Mexico, which is like a much bigger country, that's pretty impressive in its own right.
It's a blood rivalry. I remember in 1981, it was called the Battle of the Little Giants. Wilfredo Gomez was undefeated, 33-0. Get this, Dominic, 33-0 with a draw and 33 knockouts, okay? And he takes on the Mexican, Salvador Sanchez, who'd been beaten in a fight a couple of years earlier. Not decisively, but lost a decision early on in his career, but he was looking good. I mean, Sanchez was amazing. So Sanchez and Gomez get locked in this battle called the Battle of Little Giants. It's a huge, huge, mega pay-per-view show, closed-circuit TV event, okay? And Don King's promoting it there, and everybody's there. And Gomez is 33-0 with 33 knockouts. So I expected Gomez to clean his clock, you know what I'm saying? I mean, No, it wasn't that way. Sanchez broke his face, his orbital bone, in the very first round, and the guy hung on for 8 or 9 rounds, fought competitively, but for 8 or 9 rounds. And the bottom line is that sort of started this battle between Puerto Rico and Mexico as far as boxing is concerned. It's been a battle that's been going on for 35 or 40 years now. But Puerto Rico, of course, with Felix Verdejo. Let's go back to the heavyweight division, though. Anthony Joshua, very impressive last week. Larry Holmes wasn't all that impressed with him. What is it Larry doesn't see that you and I see, Zach?
Well, you know, the guy that he fought, okay, he technically Anthony Joshua was a champion, but that's about as paper of a belt as you can get. And I'll explain the paper term. So basically,
meaning toilet tissue?
Essentially, it's worth about that much. it was stripped from Tyson Fury for no apparent reason other than that for the belt. The organizations don't like each other for some reason. So the IBF didn't want Tyson Fury to have all the titles, so they stripped him of their title. So Charles Martin fights Glaskov for the title, and he knocks Glaskov down. Glaskov gets injured for the vacant title. So it's technically it's a belt, but we don't really know how proven Martin was. And I don't think it says too much about where Joshua was at. I mean, he won the fight, but he was supposed to win that fight.
Let me say something about Charles Martin, though, okay? He did what Cadwallader would do. He cashed in. I mean, come on. He was 23-0 with a draw against 23 guys like you and me, okay, with 21 knockouts. He went in there. Obviously, he didn't belong in the same ring with Joshua when they stood up against each other. He just didn't have it. I mean, he talked a good game going in. But he cashed out, man. Here was a guy that maybe if he fought in the States, he'd be making 25, 30 grand a fight. Max, okay, max. And he goes over here and he gets close to $2 million. More power to him.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I can't really blame him. And the Brits love their boxing, and he made more over there than he would have here. I can't blame him at all. But, I mean, at the same time, I'm seeing people saying, oh, Joshua won a title in less fights than Ali and Tyson. And I've seen people say that he's better than them. And it's just that hyperbolic stuff that people always like to bring up. And it's like that belt is really not the same as the belt that Ali won or the belts that Tyson won.
2012 U.S. Olympian. I'm talking about the welterweight sensation Earl the Truth Spence Jr., now 20-0, 17 KOs out of Brooklyn, or he was even fighting out of Brooklyn, New York City. But the bottom line, it was an impressive night when he stopped a pretty tough Chris Algieri, a punchless Chris Algieri. If Chris Algieri can punch, he could really rumble with these guys. But the fact that he can't punch, it sort of takes everything away from him, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think his punching power has gotten a little bit better, but it's not good enough, and it wasn't enough to handle Spence tonight.
Okay, have you solved the Teddy Atlas quandary I threw at you last week? Why Teddy Atlas would put Tim Bradley in the ring when Tim Bradley only had 13 knockouts and 35 fights going into this fight with Manny Pacquiao last Saturday night for the WBO International title? Why Teddy Atlas would allow him to wear these big fat pillows when he could have wore the Reyes gloves and significantly improved his punching power and his leverage? What's up with that?
I don't think that they had the right plan for that fight. Teddy Atlas is a good trainer. I don't know what they were thinking with that one. I mean, I kind of think that first knockdown, which was very questionable, kind of changed the course of the fight and set up the second legitimate knockdown. But still, at the same time, those were not the right gloves for Bradley to be wearing. Especially Bradley. I mean, I feel like he doesn't rely on blocking punches with his hands that much, so it's kind of a weird choice. He does a lot more of the bobbing and weaving with his head and ducking under punches.
The unbeaten WBO cruiserweight champion, they call him Head. And when you have a name like Head, I think you'd be like working the streets or something like that. But the bottom line is he cracks heads. I'm talking about Cry Golowacki, now 26-0, 16 whacks. A unanimous winner over Steve Cunningham, of course, over 12 rounds. Cunningham, the former cruiserweight champion, 28-8, now 13 KOs. Cunningham, time for him to ride off into the sunset. He's taking a lot of punches, you know, and I'm all for these guys going out early than late.
He took 4 pretty fatal punches tonight. He got dropped 4 times, and I think that is kind of time to hang him up because he was the best cruiserweight for a long time. Went up to heavyweight and couldn't really make it up there. Got knocked out by Tyson Fury, and I mean, I don't know. I kind of think it is time for him to hang him up.
Tyson Fury, the WBO heavyweight champion, still to come in action possibly in June or July. I don't know how it's going to happen in June. We're talking about fighting in Wembley Stadium. But the bottom line is, this is your Combat Sports Update brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. WBO, baby. Check them out online, WBOboxing.com, or follow them on Facebook. The bottom line is, this has been your Combat Sports Update.